Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, fellow beings. I'd like to start this show by singing a song that's offered as a connection to real universes. New I'd like to talk about this passing dream here in these created realms, places, worlds, called psych realms or places or worlds. And I think, does anyone do anything, I don't know if you want to call it wrong or right, in a dream? Or is it just experiences that we're going through for our own benefit to find out all about what isn't real, to get to know what is real? It's like, it doesn't seem that these psych realms have any more permanence than a leaf or a snowflake or a cloud. Our bodies, and that goes for you, Jehovah, and you, Grog, too, your bodies. This is something that is real, and how would we find out if it is real or isn't? All these experiences we go through. And how wonderful would it be if a person found out a great thing? It might not be great, but natural when once understood, is that everyone would be better off and glad by your appearance in their life. It sounds like we have to earn our way out of this passing dream, this prison planet. And it sounds like, well, if you're in a prison here on Earth or something, you can dig a drift to try to escape it. But here we are on a whole world that even if you're, all the digging wouldn't do any good because we've got to get to these real universes in these psych realms anymore. There's a bunch of beautiful pictures that Dwayne Ava put on Skype and Facebook of the new presentation, and lots of hints about these real universes and why we're here. Sounds like whatever process this is we're going through here in these psych realms, it's to make us be pure and sincere and grateful and humble and honorable, so that we can be free beings of real light in the real universes. There's so many people, it seems, here in this psych realm that think they know so much about what life's all about. But when you look at the big picture of foreverness, the human mind seems to hardly or doesn't know anything about it. So this experience in this passing dream that all of us in these psych realms seem to have to experience so that we can live forever free, not being controlled by others. Does anybody have anything they'd like to talk about this passing dream that we're in here in the psych realms?
Yeah, hi Tim, this is Val, and yeah we have the opportunity here. Hi, thanks for the show. We have the opportunity here to utilize our five bodies in different ways. Each body has a different aspect to it. So we can use these aspects to as an opportunity to compare to what's real and what's not. So these bodies are, in essence, they're not real. They're just created. That's why we use the term creation. And like you said, it's a process we're going through to see the difference between what's real, which is what it just is, as opposed to, or as a difference to these bodies that are created, and they're temporary. We're using them as tools to you know, like the physical is like physical, touchy feely. The astral is even more feely, emotional, memory body, causal, mental body, ideas, considerations, etheric stuff that's hidden, you know, in the background that we don't see. So all these different aspects of creation that we utilize in the form of the bodies, and then they're kind of, in a way, I see them as vibrations, or, you know, there's certain, I guess, energies or vibrations in the forms of the bodies, and things that, you know, we experience, like feelings. So all these things are here for our use to see the difference between just what is, and it's hard for the mind to see, but since this is the way it was set up, I mean, originally you could look at it, since if we are awareness and we were in this dark, just this darkness or light, even light, let's say light, we didn't, you know, we're aware, but we're not aware of, you know, we don't recognize. So recognize certain things, or basically our position in this light, or UP, as Dwayne calls it, universal positioning. So we enter creation so we can differentiate through all these different means, you know, feelings, ideas, whatever, physical things, differentiate those that they aren't, they look real and they have their own reality, but they aren't compared to the real isness, this reality. So we sort of look at them and use them to find our position with this real reality, with this, to distinguish our position with it. We have a choice to do that, how we're going to see it, because it's so vast that it's challenging to really find our way, or to see, or to recognize, or to perceive it in its vastness. So somehow we have to, you know, find a relationship or position with it. So we use the creation of this illusion that we have, this dream realities here, which seems so real that people buy into, really, to get this universal positioning, you know, that is important for us to really to establish a relationship with this isness, this reality. So I'll start there. Maybe Claudia has something.
Yeah. Thanks, Val. You did mention the vibrations. And this is interesting, these things called vibrations. Here we have words, and when we speak them, it makes vibrations. So with these physical senses like hearing, we can relate to others or, well, I guess you call it make noise. I think even when we just think, it must be making vibrations, because you can things like singing new you without using your mouth, it's just in your mind also. So these vibrations are seem to be what this psych realm stuff is, different vibrations. Rocks have a certain vibration, and the trees have a certain vibration, and the human bodies have certain vibrations, and all this stuff in these psych realms, worlds, places seem to be vibrations, thought vibrations, and action vibrations, and movements, and the importance of these things called vibrations. Yeah, Claudia, did you have something that you would like to explain or talk about?
Oh, yes. Thank you for letting me speak. Hi, everybody. This is Claudia in Texas. Dreams are wonderful opportunities for us to gather information that we couldn't get from any other source. And one of the things that's wonderful about dreams is that you get to ask a question after you sing the new you at night for 15 minutes before you go to sleep. Ask a question you want some information about. And during the night, you'll get the answer. The answer is always presented to you when you ask it, but we may not recognize the answer. So it may take a little while for us to see it in front of us. Maybe we'll pick up a newspaper, or we'll hear a talk show on TV, or see a movie or something, or overhear a conversation between friends, and they would have the answer we were looking for. So yes, vibrations, dreams, all of these are tied together in our present universe. It's a chance and an opportunity for us to wake up, to see what life is all about. It's not just getting up and going to work, and or getting up and going to school, and, you know, eating and sleeping and getting married and having kids and growing old. Yes, we grow old. It's one of the opportunities in life to learn more, because as you grow older, you have different experiences, and it's the experiences in life that we go through that gives us wisdom and also a better viewpoint of what life is all about. I don't know how else to express the opportunity that is presented. Usually the only way we get wisdom is sometimes in books, or we get educated in an educational system that's pretty much structured one way. And we learn things, though, by what we do in life. Maybe the job you get is a nurse or a doctor or a baker or a candlestick maker or an Indian chief. Each different occupation gives you knowledge and awareness of what's going on around you and with the people around you, especially your family. That you get a chance to demonstrate your capabilities in the world and in life. Never miss this opportunity. Every day you're alive and you can move about and have life is a wonderful, I guess you could say, gift. And I'm not going to refer to any deity or anything like that because people have their own idea of what a deity is to them. For us, it's just observing and living in the all-natural environment. In the all-natural environment that we were started on in the millions of years ago, we are now having to deal with it because we have destroyed it somewhat with oil and other products and how we've been using the earth's resources unconsciously. So hopefully now we'll wake up and see what we've done and clean up our act. Anyway, thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Claudie. We're definitely seeing the effects that were from the causes that we've all created over these lifetimes. It seems like it's been so long. If we come through all the forms of whatever it's called, expression here in the material realm and other psych realms, like amoebas or maybe even from dirt through plants and whatever, sea creatures and dinosaurs and so many experiences. It seems like been countless experiences, and here we are harvesting the results of what we have caused here in this material plane. We see it with our senses, and maybe it's just to learn a big lesson that when it gets so bad, we have to live in our own filth here in this material realm that gets so bad that we can't hardly breathe, and the water's so bad that can't hardly stand drinking it, and the food too isn't enjoyable anymore because of how it's been changed from, I don't know whether you want to call it good to bad or just changed from what it was as a healthy thing into something that we're finding out isn't healthy anymore with all of our scientific changes to the all-natural environment. And then all this stuff about these brutalitarians here and having to deal with the way they're controlling so much of the population of the earth and putting them through things that are for their benefit and not for the ones that are not aware of being used by them. All this suffering doesn't need to be. There doesn't need to be any starvation, and there doesn't need to be any wars, and all these things that are nightmares or what you'd call hell on earth to have to experience and go through. It just seems like anyone with any sense that's been developed through all these experiences wouldn't want to continue this way that it is on the earth. We try to find a better way than it is right now to be. And then we see these opportunities that may be so rare, like the new presentation about being able to not have to keep coming back over and over in bodies that seem to be just going to be getting worse and worse. Worse suffering and worse health and all these things in these psych realms. For such an opportunity like the new presentation and the gift of the new you song, connect with the real guides and hopefully get the real guidance and I don't know if hopefully is a word to use, but to get the real guidance and the real education to not have to come back and experience all this stuff that's not enjoyable or something that you wouldn't want to have to go through very much anymore. These real universal guides are such a gift. And a benefit to get those that are ready to have the chance to get out of these psych realms where it just seems like in these things called yugas or cycles, and we see the cycles all over in this material realm. The sun goes up and the sun goes down and the moons and the tides and all of the seasons, and such an opportunity is being offered, given, if a person is to that point where they're ready to test for themselves the new you song and find out the effects, what it does in their life about not having to come back into this bunch of brutalitarian controlled physical psych realm stuff, unless you were of the heart or whatever it is to come back to help all of the slaves, like it sounds like Dwayne has made that decision, and which is seems so rare. And then it doesn't seem like he's using any of the psychic tricks of to use to get mankind's attention. Because I guess if it was using the psychic tricks, that wouldn't be actually when a person is ready. They have to, without the psychic tricks, be accepting to that point where they're in a test for themselves to find out the effects of singing the new you connection to real universes and real guides and real education. Is there anyone that's listening that would like to call in and ask any questions? I guess feel free to. I just wonder if anyone's out there, if the real guides have got anyone that's to that point that they know is ready to be being offered the real guidance and the real education that the wonderful worldwide educators, the new presentation is offering.
Hi, Tim. I don't see any. They just came in from surfing, but I don't see any other callers, but I'll just make another comment that what we're talking about is actually very revolutionary, the whole idea and concept of what we're talking about, because this isness, it doesn't exist unless we recognize it. And in creation, you can use your imagination to manifest anything you want. So that's like a simple difference. In words, is you can't use your imagination to create something that already is. And creation, well, that's why we're here. We have the opportunity to learn how to be creative. So we can create anything we want. It may take lifetimes, it may take a long time, but we have that gift to do anything we want. And that's when we talk about the controllers. And
Yeah, that's what I was going to be mentioning is you were saying we can do anything we want. then we have those that seemingly have the power to prevent us from doing things we would like to do, that with their free will or whatever.
Yeah, the controllers have learned how this process works. I mean, basically, they've done their homework in a sense. They know how to control people and gain power through this process, because they know how the imagination works, how the social consciousness is, how, you know, they know about vibrations, and, you know, they're astute in their own way. And they play the good and evil card, the divide and conquer card, to their benefit. And that's where in creation we have this idea that there's good and evil and darkness and light. So they play that card for their benefit by creating religions which propose that, would promote that there's a good God and then there's a bad devil. And what they're doing is establishing their own power through that. Because who's the good God, or who's basically there behind all this? There is no good God or bad God unless people agree to it. So they do exist, but there's more to it. And what the controllers are doing is utilizing this idea and reality, you know, in its own way. It's a reality here in the worlds of creation to control people. And they have every right to do that. We don't agree with it. I mean, I don't agree with it, but they have a right to do that, just like anybody has a right to create anything they want. So it's the agreement that they're after from people, and that agreement makes things real for people. And that's how why people are so stuck here, because they've agreed to this nonsense that the controllers have created, these ideas and things, that one does not have to go along with that. It doesn't mean rebelling or throwing rocks or violence, but it just means lose agreement, and they don't have the support. It's just very, very common sense, but to see it in action and to actually have enough people agree to that it's a big challenge, because most people are so indoctrinated into the system through lifetimes of these controllers taking management position, you know, of control, that we've been ingrained with this, even especially into our subconscious. So it takes a lot to see through this game that they're playing, but it's possible, because there's a few of us that are beginning to see through it. And like Claudia mentioned, it starts with the environment and what's going on around us. I mean, the environment is dying here. It's being polluted and poisoned. And that's our survival. Clean air, clean food, clean water. And then you can get into, you know, the politics, the financial system, science, education. All these things have been polluted. Not just the environment, but practically everything we touch and see, media, everything we think is pure and heavenly, because they've made that up too. You know, the tunnel after you pass on, the white, the tunnel you go through, the light that you follow. Well, they've set up, I guess, stations there too, so you can, you know, route you certain ways that they want you to go. So it's really a challenge here for everybody. I mean, it's not easy. It's really not easy here at all. But it's possible, and the opportunity is here right now with Dwayne the Great Writer and other real guides. Claudia's working feverishly every night with what she's doing with the projects to help the planet and help people wake up. So we are here for everybody.
It's interesting, Val, that this psych realm world place stuff about cause and effect and these brutalitarians, authoritarians, whatever you want to call them, masters, or how they seem to be getting away with continuing to control and use their fellow beings for their own selfish interests? And when does the effects of their actions show up on them? Why hasn't it they learned their lesson? Is it something we all went through? Were we all brutalitarians and authoritarians, and it just more experiences that we had to go through to learn by experience that that's not a way we wanted to be, because we found out the effects were something terrible, and whether it's an astral hell to have gone through and be thankful that we're not there anymore. And it's just so many things about why it is the way it is in these psych realms, when it seems like it could be so wonderful without all this, whatever's opposite of wonderful. I don't know what the word is, but is there anybody else that would like to talk about this passing dream experience and what they know about why it is this way, or the effects, how long they take from the causes of our actions? It seems like we hear now that if the real guides are here protecting us because of our efforts in trying to connect with them through singing the new you, that we have their protection.
Things are so dense here things. That it takes a while for the cause and effect reaction. In the higher, so-called higher levels, things happen instantaneously or quicker, but it's denser here. So the effects of these people that are doing harm, it may take a while to show up, even lifetimes from now, you know, and then they'll wonder, well, what happened? What did I do? Well, they didn't see back there 10 lifetimes ago what they did. Yeah.
That's, so it's just that I hear that if they are to try to do something to the new students, it's almost immediate effect back on them. So maybe they just mess with those people that have to go through certain experiences, whether it's, because we look at starvation and things with Israel and the Gaza, and you wonder, well, did those people treat the other people the way they're getting treated now? Is that the experience, the lesson in cause and effect? If they were brutal and caused people to starve or all kinds of terrible, what we call terrible things, that that's their effects on this earth. If they starved to death in Africa or something, did they have the opportunity to share and help others in a previous life in these psych realms? And those are the lessons they need to experience There's so many things to wonder about why. And that seems to be what so few are really to that point yet, it seems, on Earth, from what the senses seem to be showing. It's just the same old not paying attention to what's real about life, what it's all about. To want to know or experience a better experience than here in these psych realms, because it sounds like just like this stuff about remote viewing or things like that into the astral areas, and it's bigger than here in the material, and then there's these places like astral hells where people, whether it's drugs, alcohol, or stuff like that, seem to be connected, have to go through that experience because of their actions here in this physical. It just seems like such a thing to wonder what it would be like not to be in controlled here in this brutalitarian realm where the powers that be seem to be wanting to destroy the nature itself. Makes you wonder why they would not have learned better for themselves what their destiny or whatever you want to call it's going to be. Brutalitarians going to go to astral hells for their actions and learn it that way, or if they have to come back and experience it, what they caused to others back here in this physical for who knows how many lifetimes. And maybe it isn't too important in forever, whatever chillions do and things like that, just having to go through the experiences to learn their lessons in this psych realm stuff, not in the real universes. I just wonder, I guess it seems almost like this is the way it's supposed to be for a reason. To become more aware of what is not real in the real universes. This seems like
way,
it could be wonderful.
In a way, person
yeah,
could
ahead.
Cut through a lot of his karma. Person could cut through his karma instantaneously and avoid a lot of it by just start to recognize through the new you and through reading Dwayne's books and actually doing something to contribute to the benefit of everybody, that person could cut through a lot of his karma or her karma and actually avoid it. Because karma is just an idea. It's just a cause and effect action. So what we've been taught about karma is kind of interesting. It's made up to be a big deal here. But apparently, with the new you can take a shortcut through your karma, no matter if you've been a Hitler or, you know, a dictator, oppressor of some sort, especially if you're working with the real guides and they have you, you know, they have something for you to do that would really assist others on to contribute in some way with your skills or talents or abilities. You could bypass what you've done, because it's really that recognition is the key. Again, awareness supersedes everything. So even the karma, it supersedes everything, including the karma or amount of karma, you know. So that's something you keep in front of you, awareness supersedes everything, knowledge, karma, wisdom, love, all these things that we people normally highly prize. Well, awareness is just awareness. It's just it's more of who you are, what the real reality is. It's who you, your real being. We are beings of light. So that breaks through, or you could say just it's a perception that breaks through the creation worlds into something that just is. It's just, it's so simple in a way. It's so simple yet so complicated. Again, because we have to go through ourselves. Plus these days with the world as it is, if we have these outside forces that are impeding on us and confusing us purposely. And see, that's the thing where people don't see it. They think, well, things are bad, or I don't know, politicians are crooked, and but they don't see its purpose, the intent that they have and what they've set up is so diabolical that they don't want to see how diabolical it is. They just think, oh, it's some, you know, we can do something and get rid of them, arrest the bankers. And maybe you've heard that there's a movement to arrest the bankers. Well, who's arresting the bankers? The bankers are the ones that control everything. You know, there's a level there, you know, who controls the bankers and the Tillians or whoever, you know, there's a hierarchy. But it's kind of humorous to me when they're talking about that. So it's not easy. And that's why we're here, to help people, to guide people and educate them to see beyond their restrictions and that there's more to life. And it's actually an adventure, which is, you know, you don't find that in some spiritual paths, you know. I mean, does Jesus have a sense of humor? You know, do you ever hear in the Bible that he told a joke or something? So that's what we have here too. We have humor, we have, you know, fun, and it's certainly an adventure. I mean, more so than anything you can find on Netflix. I mean, just ask Claudie what she's doing galactically. It's pretty far out. It's new now. It's always new now. So it actually hasn't been done before ever, what we're doing. You know, we're creating history. I mean, it's for anybody who wants to take the risk and see more. Should read Dwayne's books and sing the new you and find out for themselves.
Yeah, thanks, pal. About the awareness, and it seems like these real guides are aware of who is, whatever you call it, to the point, or is ready. They know who is ready, and then somehow they make it guided, whether it's walking down the street and stumble and fall and your face lands in a new book or something that happens to be right there. However, whatever way, I guess, for each person to even have the opportunity, it doesn't seem like until a person is ready that they're going to be receptive or acceptive. They'd be rejective. And then when you have these brutalitarians, authoritarians trying to control the minds of the humans, it just seems like without some interference with them to stop their mind controlling, whether it's microwaves or nanobots or things, that the people don't really have a chance if their mind is being controlled to not pay attention. Something has to be done, and the doing to help them, because the authoritarians seem to be trying to make sure whether it's Grog or Jehovah or that that people don't see any importance in anything other than their physical stuff going on, whatever it's going to take. It sounds like we have some powerful forces that are seem like they're going to be happening on the earth, whether it's pole shifts or earthquakes or volcanoes or tsunamis, or it's just so many things to. So why is it at this point now that people aren't paying attention, that everybody isn't ready or wanting what's being offered? It could spread so fast if one told another and everyone was wanting to get to real universes out of this psych realm stuff where it's suffering and being controlled or jailed or killed or on and on. So many experiences. Claudie, would you like to say some more stuff about what we're talking about?
Yeah, I would. Thank you. A little bit about me. Personality wise, is that I had a lot of my father had heart attacks. So my older brother born with birth defects.
I can't understand you.
Oh, okay. Is this better?
Oh, that's better. Yeah.
Okay. I grew up in a home with a lot of maladies. My father had heart attacks. And my older brother had been born with defects. So there was a lot to contend with. And because it was such a challenging environment, my mother would help the children, the other three children, to become more positive in their outlook. There was so much negativity to deal with. In winter, in the cold of winter, my brother would get pneumonia or something or be sick with a very bad cold. And days would pass worrying about whether he was going to survive. And this was back in the 40s, so things were not very, very, very good that way, medically speaking. But it was after the war, and so things were cheerful, really, with the people because the war had stopped, and we were starting to get more supplies and things that we needed. As we went on, because of the war, I'm going to say a lot of it is that I would have bad nightmares at night, and when this would happen, my mother and father would come to my room and say, oh, okay, look, let's pretend that whatever nightmare you had, and usually it was a monster chasing me, let's change the monster and use our imagination to make the dream better, come out better. So if we had the giant whatever monster with the three eyes and the purple head, we'd change it to a kitten or a puppy or a butterfly, and then laugh about the colors. The butterfly had, you know, orange and purple stripes on it or something. We used our imagination because we came from a very poor background, so we used it to make our lives more easily handled in tough times. And this has sustained me all my life till now. I'm a grandmother with grandchildren, and when I get to babysit them at night and they have a bad dream, I kind of use the same help my mother and father gave me, and it changes things. When you have an imagination and curiosity about life, you have a great power that gives you authority over your life, your very individual life. You can change it from bad to worse. Teachers sometimes have a difficult time with children who are daydreaming in class. Well, I was a daydreamer. I was always thinking, outside the door there's flowers or there's pretty rocks or things to explore. And because of curiosity, one gets the nudge to go and look, see what's around the corner. And for adults, sometimes we just don't want to see what's around the corner. Maybe it'll bite us or something. So we kind of give up the use of our imagination, not voluntarily, but because, oh, I'm busy, I'm at the office, or I'm in school and I have a lot of homework and a test tomorrow and so on and so forth. So we kind of get stuck in a rut and a routine. It takes a little bit of gumption, in my words, to get up and look. We come home tired, and all we want to do is eat dinner and watch TV and put the kids to bed and go to sleep, make sure they brush their teeth and done their homework. And that's pretty much it for a lot of people. But there are those who don't have that opportunity. There are poor people who don't have any opportunity to explore life. And it gets very, very challenging. So how do you meet the challenge? You change what you have in your possession. You look and see, do I have a trick in my bag of tricks that I can change the atmosphere from negativity or depression into a more cheerful attitude? And Mom would always say, we had a lot of popcorn, so it was fun waiting for the popcorn and then enjoying it, and we'd split a soda, a little bit for everybody. Same way in adult life. We have nightmares too in adult life, and we just chalk it off to being a bad dream. I used to have nightmares, and some of them were about monsters from outer space, because in the 50s we had a lot of outer space movies, and I loved outer space movies. So I'd be watching them, but I'd have to pay the price later by being jostled awake in a frightening dream. Later on in life, I became aware that these monsters, which I call, from outer space, reptilians, they were entering my dreams and making my night disturbed. And I got mad one night, and I said, I'm going to stop this. So I tried to stay awake all night. That's what little kids do. And it didn't work. I finally fell asleep, but I didn't have a monster dream. So I thought, well, I'll do this again the next night. And finally, night after night, I took control of my sleeping side of the day. And as you take control of something in your life, like even learning how to flip a pancake, it gives you a sense of, I guess you could say, strength, power, awakeness. I mean, when I got to the point where I could flip a pancake and it not fall or on the ground or whatever, it came out perfect, I was very enthused and saying, hey, if I can do this and I feel this good, I want to do something else. Maybe I can draw, or maybe I can play the piano, or something that was enjoyable. When we make a deliberate effort to improve our life, we gain control over it, in a sense. It gives us strength internally, and because we have strength internally, we can use that strength in other areas. One of the things that I used to really be afraid of was reptilian dreams. And as I got older, through high school and college and junior college, I became aware that I can change the dream. I used to banish these reptilian dreams away from me so that I no longer had them. And in their place, I would replay the dream and, strangely enough, change the reptilian to a pony or a kitty or a kitten or just a beautiful scene at the seashore. And as you take control of parts of your life that you figure you don't have control of, it gives you a strength to face challenges during the day. So I could go to school, I could pass tests, I could learn. And when you have that ability, you can make your life better. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Yeah, thanks, Claudie. Yeah, the imagination is something. Imagine how you could, help reptilians or brutalitarians or authoritarians become aware of what they're going to experience from the causing. That would be something to imagine, to get their attention to for them to decide to change their ways. Anyway, that was a very interesting discussion. If anybody has anything else to say, right ahead.
We do have a caller or listener, 610, area code. Would you like to share something?
Are you there?
610? I did have something you mentioned, Tim. You mentioned about people being unaware and why they're unaware. Were there? Yeah, that's Eric, 610. Just a minute.
Yeah. Hi, Eric. Are you there? Did you have a question or something you would like to say?
Or maybe it's Mary or John.
Oh. We're just discussing things about this passing dream and the new you presentation and the new you song being offered as a connection to real guidance and a real education, getting into the real universes.
Well, I did have, I'm studying history, Tim, about, and one of the interesting things I found out was that education wasn't exactly created like most people might think it was, and that's part of the reason why people are so dumbed down. Somewhere around the 1900s, Rockefeller, Carnegie, Vanderbilt, J.P. Morgan, Guggenheim, all these titans of industry came along. They got into the oil, transportation, steel, billions of dollars, and through these enterprises. And they wanted to hold on to these things. So they're very clever, like we're talking about. The evil forces, you could say, or the dark side, they're not stupid. I mean, they would be stupid in terms of they're not willing to wake up, but in terms of creation, they're very clever. So one of the things they did was, Rockefeller, so he wanted workers for his steel mill, for his oil companies, et cetera. So he wanted to keep the middle class, basically a worker class. So he developed, he had money, so he could buy off the politicians, and he was able to, form this called Rockefeller Foundation. And he was able to influence the public school system so that the curriculum, teachers, the professors, everybody was in line with what he wanted, which was basically, again, he wanted a class of people that would be just, you know, smart enough to work in his industry, but not smart enough to figure out what was going on, what he was doing, you know, in terms of manipulating them. So one was the Guggenheim Foundation, which is historical. It's like a historical foundation, and they basically rewrote history. What we see in the textbooks. By the way, Rockefeller owns the textbook companies. He owns the rights, scholastic literature copyrights. I mean, he's into everything educational. So these fellows were able to control, and they still do to this day, which is like right now we're dealing with Common Core, which is, it goes to the Agenda 21. It goes to, like, you know, what we're being, or what the kids are being exposed to academically. And it's just what they want us to be exposed to so that they have control of the minds and imaginations of the students. So, again, they have workers and slaves to run their company, their corporations. And it's not really the money that they are after, because they have that. They printed out of nothing with Federal Reserve, which is the private banks, but they need the labor to keep their systems operating. So it's the labor that they're after, and one of the ways they're doing this is through education, to dumb down people. So when they get through with their education after college, you know, they're primed to go into these corporations, into the military industrial complexes, and find jobs, either in the military or industrial, you know, Apple, Google, Facebook, or the military, or, you know, associated jobs, which are going to be mostly associated with these big companies. So that's what they want, and that's what they're getting, and that's why we don't see alternative education taking a hold here, and that's why we're establishing our own new school, homeschool, in Nations United University. So we have giving people the option to study something that's real, and they have a real purpose when they come out when they're old enough to do, you know, to work and contribute. They have a real purpose. We're aligning it with the environment, which they are, the elites are aligning the education with just their support, to support their industry. So that's just one of the ways they're doing it, how they're dumbing people down or hypnotizing them, using propaganda, using the media. It's just all very well planned out to keep people in their place.
Yeah, it makes me wonder here of the shapeshifters, if they're reptilians, or does this seem to have been going up the history of since the last ice age or whenever Noah, or how the story goes on this planet. It's all been human farming. It's just being brutalitarians that have no, what seems like, heart or caring about others but themselves. To have to experience that over and over again, being treated however they want to treat their slaves here on this, maybe the other planets too, I don't know. Just imagine how wonderful it could be. It's even hard to imagine how wonderful it could be on a planet where everybody was harmoniously caring about others and growing the beautiful, plentiful foods and getting to go through the process of what life's all about. Seems like we have such an opportunity being offered to find out for those that are really sincere and wanting to know what this is all about, why it is the way it is. Anyway, I guess that whoever was on the line just probably wants to listen, or they would have called in. So unless somebody else has anything they'd like to say, I guess we'll just end the discussion today.
Does 610 want to say anything? Yeah, we still have 610 on, but if they want to say something, you have some time.
Yeah, if there's someone that wants to ask any questions from Val or Claudia or I, I don't know, maybe you have trouble trying to connect, how these things work. Sometimes don't seem to be able to get the connection. But there's probably a reason why you're listening anyway, that the real guides know who are at the present, at the right now, is ready. So maybe on some of the other blog talk shows you can check and listen, or their Skype groups, and their Kelsey and Henry and Val, and there's all kinds of information on the new presentation too. And there's books available. Dwayne the Great Writer has books at Lulu. This person sings the new you. And the real guides will see that you're putting out the effort, that you're getting to find out for yourself about what's real now. Anyway, it was a pleasure talking
with you. One other thing I can add. We mentioned that the real universes don't exist unless one recognizes them or perceives them. Well, it's so too with the real guides and the support we give them and we give each other. That's the way the real universes exist, is the support we provide each other. It's an interesting look at this. It's different than the physical completely, because the real universes, again, for most people, they don't exist. It's even greater than some far out fantasy, you know, what we're talking about to some people. They can only be recognized or perceived. You can't, like I say, you can't imagine them, or you can't even imagine them or consider them or have any idea of them, because it's beyond that, or it doesn't exist for the imagination or the mind. But you can recognize them. So it's a recognition. And then it becomes a reality, not because you've done anything about it. You've just recognized it. You haven't created it or imagined it. It just, because it just is, your recognition has come about it, and you see it. So same with the support. The support is very important, supporting each other so this reality can exist. And so we can exist within this reality. So that's where contribution comes in. It's not just a passive path of worship and prayer and meditation. It's actually doing something for the benefit of everybody, and especially in the real universes, it's people, you know, beings are supporting each other in their own way, whatever their interests are. So that's, it's a whole new view about, it's a whole new, like said in the beginning of the show, revolutionary almost view. I mean, it's not really revolutionary to the is or this reality. It's just to people, to mankind, it would seem to be something far out, you know, much different than the spiritual path idea and the religious idea, philosophical, metaphysical idea. It's just, it's a whole new way of looking at it. So it just, anybody listening, or this show will be, you know, recorded and people can listen to it later, but read Dwayne's books, sing the new you, and you'll start getting it. If you're sincere, you'll start seeing things opening up in your dreams or real side. You'll start getting bits of intuition or insight into what we're talking about, because it does take a while to process this. It's not going to happen like, aha, I see everything. You may get bits and pieces of aha, but it's an ongoing process of opening, becoming more aware. And it takes a decision to want to become more aware. It just doesn't happen by itself. So decide you want to see more, and then seeing the new you, read Dwayne the Great Writer's books, listen to these shows that we're doing, like Tim's show and others that are doing broadcasts, and you'll start picking it up eventually. You know, you can't help but pick it up if you're sincere. So thanks, Tim.
Yeah, thanks, Val. Thanks, Claudie.
Thank you.
Yeah, unless there's something else anybody would like to talk about, I guess we'll just wrap it up with a new you song. Thanks for the help again with the show, Val. And we'll see everybody, I guess, tomorrow evening, huh?
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you, Tim.
Yeah, thank you. We'll see you.
Okay.
Bye-bye.